Discussion keeps the world turning.
This is Round Table.
Hello, welcome to Round Table, where we serve up piping hot debates on the issues that sizzle in China and beyond. I'm Niu Honglin. Coming up, we reflect on the rapid evolution of vocational training from traditional classrooms to dynamic online platforms. This new form of classes offer a flexible and affordable solution, transforming the landscape of education and employment. Yet, questions about quality, accessibility, and authenticity are also worth discussing. Today, let's access the state of digital education, exploring both its triumphs and trials in reshaping skills development. For today's show, I'm joined by Li Yi in the studio and Josh Cotterill on the line. Now grab your virtual compass and follow us to the heart of the discussion. In the online classrooms, tens of thousands of students attend lectures simultaneously. Students in remote areas can listen to lectures from top teachers in first-tier cities like Beijing and Shanghai. Through online courses, many green hands become experts in various fields even. The application of information technology in the field of education and training has broken the constraints of time and space, promoting the rise of the online training industry. And I was wondering, because I would just assume that all of us for the show in the studio or outside of the studio have the experience of online courses thanks to the past several years of the fast development of online classes and online courses. And how do you like it?
Well, I have some experience with online courses for sure. And I must say that although it's quite incredible and the amount of information and resources available to you just through your laptop or even through your phone, I guess, and how interactive they have become as well. You know, you can get everything from interactive interfaces whereby, for example, do a quiz, or you may even have a live tutor who is helping you and you can tune into the class. Now it's so abundant. And obviously after COVID-19, where a lot of people were working remotely, I think this industry sort of exploded and because there was so much more investment in it. This all being said, I personally find it extremely difficult to complete some of these online courses. I've never managed to complete one online. It might be because I spent a long time at university. I spent years and years at university, even after postgraduate, because I was also working at a university. And maybe this is why, but I do not have the attention. I do not have the discipline to sit down in front of a computer and read for maybe more than 15, 20 minutes. So for me, online courses, I can't do them. I just can't. I can't keep my attention on it. I need a human.
It's quite interesting because Honglin, we have this small talk before the show. You asked me whether I have been involved in these like online courses, and my first response would be no, because then my definition about this online course was still about the traditional way of teaching, somehow similar to something in the classroom. There is a teacher sitting there and you have this PPT, and maybe one segment could last for about 40 or 15 minutes. But then, you know, I just realized maybe we now have a broader definition of online courses, because we do have different like influencers. They're so active on the internet. They are teaching what they know or their skills on the internet. And maybe like one segment could be just about 10 or 20 minutes or even like 5 minutes. So does that still count as online courses? If yes, then I have been like watching a lot of online courses because my skills were built upon those millions of, you know, tutoring videos. That's true. And I believe that that's also a similar case for a lot of skiers and snowboarders, because it's quite expensive to hire a real person ski coach on the ski resort. But then with all those like abundant teaching resources online, you got to learn the skill by yourself and in a very affordable way.
That is a very interesting answer, because initially I was thinking about the traditional classroom experience moving online, and I was actually quite a huge fan because maybe I have ADHD, I'm not really sure. But even in a classroom, I am not 100% concentrating myself.
Who is?
On what the teacher is teaching. So I'm always playing something on my hand. Sometimes I'm playing my pen. Sometimes I'm folding a paper bird or something. So that does not really affect my listening or understanding of the teacher. Same thing goes to online courses. I can still do my little things with not a lot of attention spared and listening to the courses online. But I think you've got a really good point, because for me, the initial problem I had with this is that if we're talking about common or online classes or sharing of knowledge, I think it is definitely a really good idea, and you can utilize anytime you have your spare time to understand or to remember one point of the knowledge and then moving on to the next one. When you have time, you can pause and restart anytime you have. But my problem towards online courses was exactly towards the one that you have benefited a lot from. That is skill learning. Because now we're not only talking about online courses, we are talking about online vocational training. That means through these online courses, in an ideal situation, one should be able to learn about certain skills, certain techniques that requires not only knowledge, but also a lot of guidance and a lot of practices and a lot of teaching of whether or not you're doing it right to be an expert at. But that makes me feel very curious about your learning skiing experience online. How did you do that without people telling you whether or not you're doing a good job? How can you advance?
I think the biggest lesson throughout the whole process for me is that failure is the mother of success. You can just learn the skill after like millions of times of failure or failed trials. And I think you've got a point there, because if you are, you know, trying to learn something, especially a skill, through those online courses or online tutorial videos, it can be quite challenging for you to finally grasp that skill, because you also need to, you know, have this practice process.
It's like learning swimming online. Yeah. I cannot learn swimming online.
Yeah, so you can only rely on your personal self-discipline to learn that skill, because in traditional classrooms, maybe a teacher would also assign homework for you to practice or to enhance your skills learned in the classroom. But then if you are getting involved in the online courses, especially those scattered online courses without a whole system, which you don't really pay for in most cases, no one is assigning you a homework, no one is watching you practicing the skill. So maybe that could also be a problem for a lot of people out there, because they do want to acquire this skill in a short time, yet somehow their brain learned this skill, but their body hasn't really grasped the skill.
You think because, you know it. No,
yeah,
you don't.
Yeah, that could be also a problem.
So Josh, have you ever learned something, technique or a certain skill through online courses?
Yeah, well, I mean, probably the best example I have is to do with the guitar, but I learned the guitar when I was very young, and I had a teacher in person for a tiny bit, but basically it was trial and error. I never really had a teacher. I basically just learned it myself. But as I progressed, and this was before like online courses and stuff, but now I use online lessons all the time to learn songs. If I have to learn a particular technique or something on an instrument, I just go to YouTube, and it just has so many lessons. And really, something like this, this is different to like skiing or something, because there's not that much difference between a teacher being sat in front of me and me having a video in front of me, other than they can't maybe point to me and tell me what I'm doing wrong. But it actually works very well for instrument learning. So I think for certain things, it can be really, really helpful. But for something like skiing and swimming, you know, you sort of, unless you could sort of bring the computer to the swimming pool, I don't know, it seems like quite difficult to me. But yeah, I have used it a lot for instrument learning.
Another hoop to jump. Anyways, I was wondering, how is these online courses benefiting the professionals out there in different areas in China? Because we're only talking about hobby-based skills for now, we are saying that we can trial and error for so many times because we have the time, we have the enthusiasm. But for these young or middle-aged professionals, what they really do need is the kind of skill that can help them better do their jobs. Are they benefiting from these online courses?
Sure. I think now we've seen a lot of like various online courses tailor-made to those vocational skills which are needed by those workers in real life. For example, in Qinghai, we know like noodle is a specialty for this region, and also in northwestern China. So there's a special courses targeting ramen skill building for those chef or people working in the ramen or noodle industry in a very simple way. And Qinghai province has really launched a series of measures to boost the ramen industry skill talent pool in response to the industry development needs. Obviously, there is a huge need for the professional skill making and cooking ramen. And also similarly, in Shandong province, there is a Qilu construction craftsman skill training. It's really about telling those people in the industry to enhance the skills of rural construction workers, and through flexible training formats, qualified construction talents are cultivated to support either rural vitalization and also rural habitat environment improvement projects. And also in Guangdong province, there's a cuisine master project where people can really learn professional skills to cook Cantonese cuisine. And also in Chongqing, there's even a hot pot cuisine chef training program. Yes, to make you become professional, a chef that can present the best hot pot cuisine for your customers. That's just amazing.
You know, the thing is, you know, in my opinion, the biggest problem with all these trainings is that they want me to learn them all, but I do not have enough time to learn. It's just you have too many options online. You have too many choices when it comes to online courses that you can actually sign up for, mostly free of charge, but you do not have the time and energy to do that. And it makes you feel, a lot. That's what I'm feeling. And definitely, there are advantages of online skill training. And there are many problems and challenges that can be solved with online trainings. For example, if you cannot travel so far away to find that exact chef that you want to learn from, maybe if he has online courses, or even he's only sharing a video of how he's doing this certain dish, you can follow. But one thing I think is quite important for these professionals is that they are not learning a complete new skill. They're building on their current technique. They can be the judge of themselves whether or not they're doing it right. Like for Josh here, when you're learning a new song with your guitar, with online videos, you actually know whether or not you're doing a good job, and you can practice and improve it. But if for someone who has no experience in guitar playing whatsoever, he has no basic understanding or basic skills of where to press and how to pluck, then it'll be really hard to start from scratch. So that is one possible problem that I can imagine for these online trainings, especially if it's towards a vocational training kind of purpose. But what are some other problems related to online training?
Well, I think the first major problem that I can think of is really there are just too many skills that are needed from the market, either, you know, from professional workers working in certain industry. They want to enhance their skills and they really want to build up their skills to climb their career ladder, or for like average people who just show little interest in certain skill and they want to learn that. I think it's really hard to fulfill all of them. You have to have this very accurate research base before you carried out a certain skill training program, because I believe to have these online courses, it could also be very costly. You should really have this very professional team of people who can really operate these courses, who can help you record the courses, to who also have the resources to professional expertise who can teach those skills. I think these all need very, very attentive efforts from the industry. I mean, if you are the operator of this online skill training company, then how do you decide which skill you are targeting? And so I think that's also a very, very tricky issue for those companies who offer these courses out there. And also, different learners have their different learning habits. Someone maybe learn fast in certain skill and someone learn slow, and someone maybe they are better at learning through visual tools, and somebody might just be better at learning from, I don't know, like
practicing
and
interaction.
Interaction. So I think, however, when you are rolling out those online skill courses, you are basically offering like a one fix for all approach to millions of users out there. So how do you make sure your teaching method, the way you deliver information, is suitable for most people, for most audiences out there, is also another challenge.
I think Li Yi has already took the approach from the stance of a business operator, from a business insider's feel. Josh, as a, for example, a client of such service, is there any problems that you think people should be addressing when it comes to online professional or vocational training?
Well, I think so. From the viewpoint, from the experience of the learner, I think there's definitely a lot of things that people need to be conscious of and be careful of. I myself, when I was working at university, found that there were a lot of courses that I spoke with students about, and I was even recommended to some by colleagues, and many of them were amazing at a time when I was thinking about preparing to do my PhD. And I looked online and it was really, really difficult to actually decipher and find those courses that would actually result in, firstly, the qualification that I actually needed, but also the proper training that I would need in order to develop those skills that ultimately I would use in my career later on, whether that be academia or whether it be something slightly more practical. And I think that navigating this world is quite difficult because people really do want that qualification at the end of a lot of these courses. And there are a lot of companies that abuse this desire, and they can often manipulate people. And sometimes these certificates are not valid at all, and the market simply becomes oversaturated, and the degree, the qualification as a whole, overall, becomes less important and less valuable. So I think there's an issue there. And I think that one has to be quite careful to make sure that the course that you're doing is actually going to result in the qualification that you need and is real, you know? So I think that there's a danger here with online courses. So yeah, I think this is the biggest challenge.
You actually remind me of when I was a kid, I used to sign up for many extracurriculum classes. Again, ADHD, like to learn when I'm playing, so I have a lot of classes. And it was not a problem to me. I like classes. And the thing is, when I sign up for those classes, I would choose, and my parents actually would also choose, the big brand schools. They might not be that popular all across China, but at least they were quite popular and also trustworthy in my own city. And with these kind of background, I can trust the teachers they hire. I can trust the design of courses that they endorse. I think that's also a possible solution or a possible way that these online courses can move towards. That is, if there is or there are several trustworthy brands focusing on developing different types of online courses, then definitely people would find it much more ensuring to sign up for these courses, even if they have to pay a certain amount of tuition fee. And definitely we do actually have some of these platforms already. According to the Ministry of Education, as of now, China has launched over 76,000 MOOCs, that is the massive open online courses, with over 450 million registered users, serving over 1.2 billion domestic learners. China's scales of MOOC construction and application ranks first in the world.
Yeah, and I think this platform, especially the course resources, continue to grow on this platform. I mean, with over 27,000 high-quality MOOCs covering 12 disciplines and 93 majors at the undergraduate level, and also by the end of 2023, the platform had acquired over 100 million registered users with over 36 billion page views and 2.1 billion visitors. I think that's a very powerful proof of the huge need for the online training or online courses here in China. And also we see some international exchanges continue to grow. So far, the online teaching international platforms iCourses and Xuetang Online have opened over 1,000 multilingual international courses to college students and social learners worldwide for free. Participation in learning has reached 910,000 people, covering 190 countries and regions. So I believe in the future, we could see more official platforms like this targeting maybe more specific groups of people for their diversified needs. And maybe in the future, we could also see more personalized online courses targeting different people. I believe it's a promising market.
Okay, last question. I feel like I already know the answer from Josh, but I have to ask anyways. That is, do you think online training could one day, potentially with the development of technology, the possibility of, you know, learning and attending these classes in the form of playing a virtual reality kind of game with all the gears and stuff, you can not only listening to the teacher, but also interact with the teacher and interact with certain equipment in the metaverse. In that case, in that, I don't know, near or far away future, do you think online training can replace real classroom training?
I think to some degree it will, but I do think that those universities that are the most prestigious, they still and have always worked on a system. The way in which they maintain their prestige is to limit the amount of students that are allowed to participate in that course, right? So if they suddenly open it up to a virtual online world, there's going to be too many students. So I still think that there's always going to be a market for, and that those prestigious institutions are always going to have in-classroom teaching. I think that's always going to be there, simply because this is the only way in which, one of the main ways in which they can maintain their prestige.
Limited resources.
But then I think when you are trying to promote educational equality, so maybe a major approach would be to open more educational resources to the public, either to other young people in other colleges or simply young people or more people in a society of all backgrounds. I think somehow like a paradox here, because when countries are trying to promote educational equality, we also need to make sure that internet or technological equipment are also being more accessible, because otherwise, like a huge online training or online course market would also be another digital gap, I guess.
Personally, I would look forward to a future where learning is limitless and education is accessible to all that at the click of a button. And the evolution of online training or online vocational training is not just changing careers, it's also changing many lives and many people's lives in especially remote areas. So maybe we can start from there, learning from the best without actually traveling too far away or cost too much of the limited resources you have. And maybe from there, we can step to a future where, like Li Yi has mentioned, education resources is equally accessible to everybody.